Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, it's been a great morning already. We have sung about the greatest message that can ever be told, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in our singing, there were so many angles that we looked at, and it was wonderful. And we have heard from the Peters and them as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to the country of Kenya. And as they look forward to the future, being ambassadors of heaven to our own country. And we will continue to follow you, and we thank you for your work over the years in serving our Lord, trying to bring people through an airplane to Christ. We know that it takes more than an airplane, but you understand that. So, it's been a good day. And I'm going to give a message that's sort of a missions emphasis. I hope it's not misinterpreted, because over and above everything else, God is interested in family. God is hugely interested in family. He invented the family. But since he is the creator of all things, he can also work in mysterious and marvelous ways. So I'll leave it there, and then we'll go on from there. Let's pray. Father, you do work in marvelous ways, sometimes mysterious, and we have a hard time wrapping our heads around what you do. But I pray that even though you have told us and the family is so highly esteemed, at the same time, greater than the family is your will and your purposes in our life. And so we ask that as we look at a few passages in Scripture this morning, you'll just orient our hearts so we end up loving the Father more than we love anything else, that we want to follow Jesus more than we would want to follow our own desires. So, Holy Spirit, work. Work in us. Flex our spiritual muscles. Help them to be stronger, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, the family is a major focus, not only in Scripture, but these days in our world. And certainly God is interested in the family. He's interested in building the family. In the context of Jewish life, family was not just me and my children, but me, my grandparents, my parents, my children, my siblings, and their children. So while doing some reading recently, I came across a thought-provoking question. What kind of God would give you a family and friends, security and esteem in the midst of the family, and then ask you to give it all up? Now, the question is relevant because in the transitional moments of missionary service, often the body goes off to the field somewhere else in the world, and the heart yearns to stay home. Have you ever seen the reality TV show called Hello, Goodbye? Nobody has, eh? Well, it's CBC's best production. I hate it, but it's their best production. It is a series shot in Toronto's Pearson's Airport. The host of the show approaches and chats with passengers either getting ready to depart to some destination or waiting for relatives or friends to arrive back to Canada. The host tries to get at the story behind the passenger's visit to the airport. Now, that airport has provided the most profound emotional upheavals I have ever experienced personally. And so I understand when he's doing interviews with these people, I mean, my heart is breaking sometimes. My tears are going down my eyes, and because I remember those days in the airport saying goodbye to my mom and dad and having to rip my children away from their grandchildren. And I just saw emotion, raw emotion, and love, and everything else from my parents that I had never recognized before. So in that airport, teary eyes, heavy baggage, lineups and papers, all of that were gathered together, a lot of tension and a lot of stress. And the thought of not seeing those people God had used to mold my life for so many years ahead. The airport experience alone could be the emotional train wreck that would prevent missionaries from serving God. And that's why I both love that show and I hate that show, because of the feelings it evokes when I watch it. I've been there. The Peters have been there. And many in this auditorium have been there. Like, the airport experience is where the abandonment of family becomes real. Why? The abnormality of leaving family behind is traumatic and counterintuitive, even to our faith. So the question again, what kind of God would give us something that has so profoundly influenced us and take it away? Well, here are some thoughts based on the goodbye experiences of some of God's servants in Scripture. The first case study we will look at is found in Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul was gathered with the elders of the church at Ephesus to address them for the last time. The Apostle Paul's goodbye to the elders of Ephesus then. They had become a family of sorts, people in whom the Apostle Paul could trust during very, very, very turbulent times in his life. He had spent time with them, and he had discipled them. They wanted to be with him, and he wanted to be with them. They were like Paul's refuge, his safe haven. And as we look at the text, we find that the kind of God that would give us family and friends and then ask us to leave them is a God whose mission is redemptive, not just romantic, all those nice feelings. Family plays an important role in the preparation of the servant of God. That is why God created families. For people who belong to a family, there's emotional, monetary, material, and often spiritual support. This is a powerful gift to give to anyone. It imparts to them confidence. It imparts to them skills, encouragement. It imparts to them a haven of rest. It surrounds a person with a great sense of security. That security can become romanticized, though. We can fall in love with the feeling of family, with the security of family to such a degree that we are unwilling to let it go, even though God calls us to do so. What could be more important to God than family? And I think the answer from Scripture comes back: redemption. Redemption is more important to God. So in this passage, Acts chapter 20, verse 21, redemption is defined as the need for people to turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The text we are about to look at shows that family, the feeling of belonging, is not an end in itself. family in Scripture is a tool in God's plan of redemption. God uses family, but he is not content to let us park ourselves forever in families. So, the family is what nurtures and protects the seedling so that when it becomes strong, it can survive in other soil wherever God decides to replant it. So just how important is this task of redemption? Well, in verse 22 of Acts 20, it tells us that it requires the compelling work of the Spirit of God. This is not something you just leave family because, you know, I got adventure out there. That's not what missions is all about. Missions is driven by the Holy Spirit of God. And so family is a safe place to stay until God's Spirit begins to work. And so I'm sure Melvin and Carrie love their family, their church family, and their country. And thank God he has called them back, and they can enjoy that. But I thought I heard in the midst of their testimony and report that this might be just a season. You know, they're ready to go wherever God leads them. Yet they felt compelled to leave this country and go to a country for many years where they were foreigners, where they were strangers, where they felt out of place, where they probably felt a little bit incompetent and unproductive. God does not hold missionaries hostage, but through his Spirit, they sense an obligation and a desire to be part of his redemptive plan. They do not regret God's call or regret leaving their motherland, but most missionaries, wouldn't have chosen it just for themselves. Paul's testimony shows that the task of redemption is so important that it not only shuns the security of family, it is willing to journey into the realm of uncertainty. So verse 22 of Acts 20 there says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit," the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Now, he was somewhat familiar with Jerusalem, very familiar, I would say. But at the same time, he was not sure altogether what was going to happen. So what does it take to make the journey into the realm of uncertainty? What's it take for a missionary to go out to a place where they've never been before? Well, in Paul's life, to accomplish the task of redemption, God's servant was compelled to do several things. Number one, explore the certainties and count the cost of the journey. So verse 22 said, there is a lot of uncertainty, but the Apostle Paul said, I'm certain of one thing. And what was that one thing? Verse 23, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Whoa, that's a great place to go, right? So he's going to Jerusalem, and he's going to face suffering. So in Paul's case, he could be certain of at least one thing. He would face adversity and personal suffering when he made the journey. Verse 24 gives us something, another certainty and another thing about counting the cost. God's servant was compelled to esteem the task of redemption as God's will, the goal of one's life. And to do so, he had to reckon his own life as nothing. That's what verse 24 says. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task Jesus has given me. A third thing God's servant is compelled to do is to expect to disappoint family by their desire. The Apostle Paul, I don't know whether he had family or not. I mean, he had some kind of extended family, and he said that could be pretty large in a Jewish context. But that decision to follow Christ, he could expect to disappoint family by the desire he had to follow Jesus Christ. So your decision to follow Jesus into the realm of uncertainty will leave grieving friends. And in Ephesus, where he was ministering and teaching pastors and trying to get the church going and everything there, and they loved him, he loved them. Acts chapter 20, verse 25 says this, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." And then if you jump down to Acts 20, verse 36, "When he had said this, the apostle Paul knelt down with all of them and prayed." And what did they do? "They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again." Now, that doesn't happen to most missionaries, but it happens to some. And that's hard. Verse 1 of chapter 21, "After we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos." What was the task, the mission that was so important? Going back to verse 24, it basically says this: "None of these things moved me. I didn't count my life dear to myself. I wanted to finish the race God had given me." And then he described what race that was, what compelled him to do what he did. "The ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." And what was that? "To testify to the gospel of the grace of God." In another place, Paul said the task was to be, as we've already heard, an ambassador. An ambassador of God's message. What was the gospel? The gospel is the message of the grace of God. And we looked already, or we heard 2 Corinthians 5:20. What is the gospel? The gospel is be reconciled to God. How? Well, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, to bear the punishment of our sin. And now, in Jesus, we can have that righteous standing with God, the same as Jesus had, because he has paid the price for our sin. It's not our good works that have done it. It's the works of Jesus on our behalf. The world needs to hear that message. It is the message of redemption. The mission is about us joining God in what he is doing. It is not about God joining us in what we want to make of our lives. As strong as family ties may be, God has the right to untie the knot so that we can share with others what he has given us so freely. So the second case study on goodbyes is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Here we see Abraham leaving his family to go to a place where the Lord called him to go. What kind of God would give us something that has so positively influenced us and then take it all away? Well, we looked at the first one, a God whose mission is redemptive, not just romantic. Secondly, a God who knows that home is not yet. Home is yet to come. Following God's leading may inconvenience God's servant. It may disrupt life. It may lead to an unsettled life, according to Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, it says, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He came from Haran, a civilized city, and he went to the promised land, and there he had to live in a tent. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. It may mean that God's servant will never enjoy the comforts of, quote-unquote, home. He will always feel out of place and on the move. And that's where Abraham was, there in the land that was promised by God. All these people, so this is looking at Hebrews 11, all these people, other people, not only Abraham, but other families, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. And then verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So this blows apart the philosophy that you only live once. You do live twice. And the second life is home. This then concludes the second observation of what kind of God would ask us to leave family and friends. A God who knows that home is not here. A God who knows that home is not yet, home is yet to come in a place Scripture calls heaven. Finally, the kind of God who would ask us to leave family and friends is a God who had to do it himself. A God who does not require any more of his servant than he required of himself. So that's where Philippians 2 comes in, and I think I've used this passage for the third time, in 3 weeks in a row. But so we look at Ephesians or Philippians chapter 2, and we look at the goodbye Jesus made to heaven. So Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Or as the New Living Translation did, he did not cling to the privilege and the prestige of living with God, of staying in his heavenly home. So the instruction in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And what is some of those attitudes? Verse 6 of Philippians 2. Privileges of the family are not something to be guarded, but used to fulfill God's calling. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, held on to for himself, but something to be shared. So are you considering the privileges of Canada something to hold on to? In the meantime, saying no to God who wants you to go somewhere else? It's natural, but the Spirit may be compelling you to do something else. Will you listen to him? Verse 7, we see another attitude here. Lowering our living standards, changing our daily habits to conform to others. It's not suicide for us. Jesus called it service. But Jesus, verse 7, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We ask the question then about our attitude. Are you willing to set aside your reputation, what others may think? Are you willing to empty yourself of your expectations and your ambitions to lay aside your selfishness in order to share the privileges you've had with someone out somewhere in order to bring them to Christ? In Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Would you be obedient to God in spite of it, where it may lead you? Jesus' obedience to God, Jesus, by embracing the redemptive plans of God, was led to the cross. Would you be obedient to God in spite of where it may lead you? Obedience to Jesus, despite where it may lead you or how it may humble you, is worthy of imitating, not avoiding. What kind of God would ask you to leave friends and family, the very loved ones he has given you? A God whose mission is redemptive, not just a romantic feeling. A God who knows that home is not yet, but home is yet to come. And a God who did it himself. So despite all the tears and the heartaches, I must remind myself God can be trusted. He knows what he is doing. Secondly, living apart is not normal, but neither is our God just a normal God. So at times, God may call us apart from our normal routine, from what we normally consider ourselves to be. And I guess my question I leave with you, and I ask you to entertain in your heart as God speaks, are you willing to risk it for his sake? Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit would grab hold of whatever you are doing in our heart, and we would say yes. Please do this. The world needs to hear about Jesus. Amen.